We have been listening to Jesus' instructions for this Go and Do series. Lots of instructions Jesus has for us. So come closer and hear these words from the Gospel of Mark for these next instructions. At last, the disciples came to Capernaum, where they gathered in a house.
"What was it I heard you arguing about along the way?"
The disciples looked down at the floor and wouldn't answer, for they had been arguing among themselves about who was the greatest of Jesus' disciples. So he sat down with the 12, and he began to teach them.
"Whoever wants to be first must be last, and whoever wants to be the greatest must be the servant of all."
Then he called forward a child and set the child in the middle of them, and he took the child in his arms.
"Whoever welcomes a child like this in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me is welcoming, and whoever welcomes me is welcoming not me, but the one who sent me."
Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. Joe was a college student taking a course in ornithology, or the study of birds. And the night before the midterm, he spent all night studying. Ever pull an all-nighter in college? Yeah. He had the textbook nearly memorized, and he knew his class notes inside and out. He was ready. The morning of the test, he entered the room and took a seat in the front row. On the table in front of him was a row of 10 stuffed birds. Each bird, however, had a paper bag covering its body, and only the legs of each were showing. When the class started, the professor announced that the students were to identify each bird by looking at its legs, giving its common name, genus, species, and habitat. Joe looked at each of the bird's legs. They all looked the same to him, and he started to get angry. He had stayed up all night studying for this test, and now he had to identify these birds by their legs. And the more he thought about this situation, the angrier he got. And the angrier he got, and the angrier he got, until he'd reached a boiling point, much like Angie's water demonstration. And he stood up, and he marched over to the professor. He crumpled up his exam paper and threw it on the desk. He said, "What a ridiculous test. How could anyone tell the difference by these birds just looking at their legs? This test is the biggest ripoff I've ever seen." And then he turned, and he headed toward the door. The professor was shocked, and after he regained his composure, he said, "Hey, wait a minute. What's your name?" At that, Joe turned around, pulled up his pant leg, and hollered, "You tell me, Professor, you tell me." What makes you angry? What sets you off? Because I can totally relate to the guy in this story. It's stuff like that that sets me off too. The thing is, Harriet Lerner in her book, The Dance of Anger, says anger is our signal that something's not right. Anger is our signal. It's our cue. Not our destination. Not the place we stay. It's just the cue. But somehow we can manage to make ourselves right at home there and take up temporary residence in anger. And then we start doing things that aren't even like us. Ever hear of the book, The Five Languages of Love? It's by Gary Chapman. Anybody hear of that? In it, Chapman lists the five most common ways to express love. The first is words of affirmation. The second, quality time. The third, receiving gifts. The fourth is acts of service, and the fifth is physical touch. Well, if there was ever a book about the five languages of anger, I think it would include these things. See if you can relate to any of these. Instead of words of affirmation, it would be yelling and screaming words we don't want repeated. Second, instead of quality time, it would be more like quarrel time. Third, instead of receiving gifts, it would be giving grief. Fourth, instead of acts of service, it would be acts of self-pity. And fifth, instead of physical touch, it would be the silent treatment. My mother gives a mean silent treatment. Of course, there are other signs that somebody is angry, and I say they're more international signs because no matter where you are, you know somebody's angry if they are slamming a door, give you the evil eye, they lay on the horn, or maybe clenching teeth. Any of those hit close to home? Anger is a strong emotion. And statistics say 1 in 5 Americans are angry at any given moment. I'm not surprised. There's way more going on out there than unfair or anthology midterms. So what do we do about it? Because Jesus says, stop arguing among yourselves. Whoever wants to be first must be last. Whoever wants to be the greatest and feel like the greatest must be the servant of all. And I'm not always feeling that way when I'm angry. I relate to the disciples in the scripture. We tend to think more about being right and about feeling heard over everyone else. And guess what? It didn't get the disciples anywhere, and it doesn't get us anywhere either. A lot of times, it just gets us more worked up, and it keeps the argument going. But anger is not the destination. It's our signal. So how do we keep from residing in anger? How do we keep from arguing among ourselves when we're angry? What do we do with our anger so we move out of it and so we can really deal with the something that's wrong that's cueing us toward that? Well, two things. First, we give our anger to God. Yes, we take out our anger on God. All the screaming and yelling, all those words we don't want to repeat, all the grief, all the self-pity, all the door slamming, all the gnashing of teeth. We give it straight to God because God is the only one who can take it. There is not one other human being on the face of this earth who can take our anger without it affecting them in some way. But God can take it. God can take it because God transforms it. God doesn't leave any negative energy floating around out there in the cosmos. God takes our anger and our irritations and our bad thoughts and our bad words and transforms them into love like only God can do. And for some of this, this may go against everything we've been taught about how to treat God. But let me assure you, we are not the first ones to give our anger to God. Job, in the Old Testament, Job told God, I am sick of life, and I am complaining to you. Why do you take such delight in destroying those you created? And Psalm 13 says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and sorrow in my heart? Answer me, Lord. Read some of the other Psalms in the book of Lamentations, and you will see that giving our anger to God is nothing new at all. It's not disrespectful. It's wise, because God understands it. God can take it. God can transform it. And God can forgive it without even a second glance. So first, we give our anger to God instead of each other. Second, we give up our authority. Ooh. That's what Jesus was talking about when he called forward that child and said, whoever welcomes a child like this welcomes me. In other words, whoever gives up their authority, their power, is ready to welcome my power. Because children, especially back then, didn't have a lot of power. They didn't have a say in anything. Therefore, if we give up our say, then God can have a say. If we give up our sense of authority in an argument or when we're angry, then God's power can enter in. And we can welcome that to take over instead. Because God's power and authority is the greatest and should come first. Not us, not our egos, not our anger. God. And I'm willing to bet that what God has to say is so much better than what we are saying or screaming or thinking. Because it doesn't really matter who among us is the first or the greatest. All of that has already been decided. God is first. God is great. And God can help us from collapsing into our fear and then acting out of anger. Easier said than done, right? There was once a little boy who had a bad temper, so his father gave him a bag of nails and told him every time he lost his temper, he had to hammer a nail into the fence. The first day, the boy drove 37 nails into the fence, and he got to see just how much anger he had inside of him. Over the next few weeks, he decided he was going to start controlling his anger, and the number of nails he hammered into the fence gradually dwindled down, and he discovered it was getting easier to hold his temper and to deal with what was making him mad rather than just getting mad all of the time. Finally, the day came when the boy didn't lose his temper at all, and so his father told him to go and pull out one of the nails. And each day he was able to hold his temper, he could pull out another nail. The days passed, and eventually all the nails were gone. The father took his son by the hand, and he led him to the fence, and he said, "You have done well, but look at all the holes that are here in this fence. The fence will never be the same, because when you act out of anger, it leaves a scar, just like the ones on this fence." Anger is real, and none of us are exempt from feeling it. It's what we do with it that makes the difference. So let go and let God. Amen.